So, Kevin, I was thinking about what we should call this episode about California's second ever gubernatorial recall election. And I started thinking about how Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, won the last one, becoming the governor.
Come with me if you want to live.
And how this is kind of a sequel, right? So now I'm thinking, why come up with a new name when the Terminator franchise already did it for us?
Terminator 2, Judgment Day. This time, he's back for good.
Trust me.
Recall 2, Judgment Day. Perfect, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Polls close Tuesday in California's gubernatorial recall election.
While recent polls seem to be in Newsom's favor, his campaign is not leaving it to chance.
This recall campaign is about California, and it's about a whole lot more.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, a California editor, Kevin Yamamura, on Governor Gavin Newsom's Judgment Day. So what exactly is happening in California tomorrow? What are Californians going to be voting on?
So tomorrow they're going to decide first whether they want to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. And that's a straight up or down vote. If a majority decides they want to recall the governor, then we move to this second question, which will be on the same ballot where 46 candidates appear and voters can choose among any of the 46, in addition to several write-in candidates. And if a majority of voters actually decides they want to oust Newsom, then whoever has the most votes on the second question would become governor.
And at this point, it's looking like Larry Elder, the Trump-supporting conservative talk radio host, is kind of the front runner among those 46 names, right?
Yeah, he's coalesced support largely from conservatives, but also from voters who know him from his decades on the radio. He also had some TV shows.
We're back, and it's time to induct someone new into our Larry Elder honor roll. Our honoree this week is someone from Toledo, Ohio.
The short-lived moral court and syndication. So Larry Elder's got a name. He's got some views that are sort of a no-holds-barred talk show host type of persona, and that's really appealed to some people. And I think, you know, right now he's got at least 20% support, polls show, maybe even climbing toward 40%. But mind you, this is a percentage of votes among those who are actually choosing a replacement candidate. So not everybody is even answering that second question.
What are the forces that you think are going to decide the results tomorrow?
Well, turnout has been the name of the game. Initially, there was a thought that Republicans were going to turn out in large numbers. They were highly motivated to vote. Over the last several weeks, however, Democrats have really turned the tide in getting their voters out and also getting independents to vote as well. So experts think that the Democrats have managed to get enough of their voters and enough independent voters out to defeat the recall. We'll have to see.
I want to talk about a couple possibilities of where California might be after tomorrow. You said it seems sort of most likely like Democrats are going to have the votes to keep Newsom in office. So the first scenario we'll talk about is Gavin Newsom remains governor of California. I'm curious where you think that leaves things politically, if Newsom does come away from this still being governor of California. Like, is he unscathed at that point if he does win this election? Or does the fact that it even got this far in a super blue state, like, is this something that's sort of tainted him politically for forever?
I think there are two trains of thought, and some of it will depend on how much he wins, how much he beats back this recall. If it's if it's a big win, you know, he could view that as a mandate of some sort. If he defeats this by 20 points or more, if it's a close win, then who knows? I mean, people could see that as look, this governor is not as popular as he thinks he is, or as popular as Democrats think he is. So certainly the margin will play a factor in determining some of that. But a governor that defeats a recall might come out of it stronger. And we turn right around and head into the 2022 election cycle, which would already be starting on the natural right now anyway. There's a June primary in California. So, I mean, we're not that far away from the next gubernatorial election. And California has a top two primary system. You could see the potential for some kind of a moderate deciding to jump in the race, in addition to some of these Republicans who are already running in the recall, just turning around and running again in the 22 election as well. Hmm. So, I think there's some people who think that he could come out of this even stronger. There's some others who think that, yeah, he might be damaged because we saw how people really feel about this governor.
So let's talk about the second, less likely scenario here, but still a possibility, that one of those challengers, probably most likely Larry Elder, the talk radio personality we were talking about, ends up becoming governor after voters decide to oust Newsom. What do you think that would actually end up looking like? I mean, you mentioned that there's already going to be another gubernatorial election next year. At the end of the day, California is a super, super blue state that has a Democratic supermajority in the state legislature, right? Like, what would it really look like to have sort of an uber conservative governor in this super blue state, potentially only for a year?
Well, I think we would see somebody like Elder try to test the bounds of his power as a governor in a super blue state. Somebody who might try to use the executive order powers to the full extent that he can. You know, we saw Governor Newsom use his executive powers extensively during the pandemic. That said, Democrats control more than 2/3 of the legislative houses. I think it would empower the legislature, the Democratic legislature, even more, because they might see their role and responsibility as trying to overturn anything Elder tries to do, including any overriding vetoes, if it came to that, on bills, or trying to pass legislation that would cancel out any of his executive orders.
Hmm. I mentioned before that this is the second time ever in California history that you've had one of these recall elections. The first time, the one where Arnold Schwarzenegger ended up becoming governor, the ousting of Governor Gray Davis. I'm curious, for you as someone who's been tracking California politics for years, who's been, you know, reporting on this day in and day out, I know we don't know the results of this yet, but like, how do you think you're going to be looking back on this moment politically in California in the years to come?
You know, if you go back to 2003, that really was a history-making moment in California. It was the first time we had a gubernatorial recall, but it was not just the fact that we had it. It was also that you had a very unpopular governor, which made it highly likely that he would be recalled. And then you had Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what bigger name could you get to run in the replacement ballot? And then he won. So, you know, the second go around, this Judgment Day, as you call it, it doesn't have that same sort of vibe, in all honesty. Mm. We don't have a Schwarzenegger running. We have a governor who's actually got approval ratings much better than Gray Davis's were in 2003. So, I don't know. I mean, I think when we look back on this one, we'll wonder how we got here. It was a highly unusual circumstance. You know, in California, activists always file recall petitions against a sitting governor. And this one just caught fire because of the moment and because of certain circumstances and because high levels of frustration by people not being able to live their lives while the pandemic was going on for this to even qualify. I think we'll look back and wonder if the recall process is appropriate, if the thresholds are appropriate. They may be too easy to qualify in California, some believe. And then, of course, there's this question of, you know, a small plurality could elect a governor in California if enough people want to oust the sitting governor. So that a Larry Elder, a conservative talk show host, could even be in position to be this close to becoming governor is quite unusual. So,
Kevin Yamamura, thanks so much for talking with me, and I'll see you after Judgment Day.
Okay. Thanks, Jeremy.
Also, today, the Capitol Police Department is in the process of disciplining six officers for misconduct stemming from their behavior on January 6th. The department announced that over the weekend, revealing the results of 37 investigations into allegations that some officers acted improperly as the pro-Trump mob stormed Congress. Three of those six officers who the department did not identify were flagged for, quote, conduct unbecoming, while the other officers faced discipline for, quote, failure to comply with directives, improper remarks, and improper dissemination of information. The bulk of the cases were deemed unsubstantiated, and the U.S. Attorney's Office for Washington, D.C. did not find enough evidence in any of the cases to charge a crime. And Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is defending himself against progressive calls for him to step down. Speaking to Fox News on Sunday, the 83-year-old justice echoed his previous statements on the subject, saying he doesn't, quote, intend to die on the court, but he also wouldn't say clearly what his plans for retirement are. Democrats stepped up their calls for Breyer's retirement in recent months, as a Democratic president would be able to nominate Breyer's successor, and a Democratic majority in the Senate would be there to confirm that. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And on Wednesday, September 15th, join Global Insider host Ryan Heath for a panel about the global tech race during Politico's inaugural tech summit. Find more at politico.com/live events. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.